What's up, everybody? Welcome to the All Access edition of the ProWrestling.net podcast. This is Will Pruitt, and I'm here to walk you down the long and winding road that was TNA Impact Wrestling for August 2nd, 2012. Can you believe it is already August, guys? You know, the leaves are going to start changing soon. It's still warm, but it's going to start cooling off, and you know what you're going to want when it does? You're going to want yourself a subscription to ProWrestling.net. Now you're thinking, why? Why do I need that? Why is that so important? And let me tell you, man, when you're inside on those fall days, sipping your hot chocolate or your coffee, you know, you're going to want something to listen to. And man, we've got audio coming out the wazoo. You're going to get the .net countdown show with myself and Jake Barnett breaking down the top five and bottom three moments of the week. I think, and, you know, I do the show, but I think it becomes a very unique show in that we're looking for moments, and honestly, we're trying to be more positive than we are negative. And in today's wrestling media, that's hard to find. I'll be real with you, and that's me being really serious about a frustration of mine with the wrestling media lately, is that negativity abounds. So you're going to get that show. You're going to get the .net weekly audio show, the flagship. It's Jason Powell and Chris Shore going about 2 hours every week talking about the news of the week. You're going to get quick hits audio where they break, Jason and Chris will break down news just like that soon after it breaks, and then boom, little bit of audio, dunsies. You're going to get audio reviews of every major show, Raw, SmackDown, and TNA Impact Wrestling. And plus, you're going to get interviews. Jason Powell recently interviewed Violent J in a surprising interview, considering it was with an ICP member, and that's normally not my thing. But on top of that, you get ad-free access to ProWrestling.net. You get access to the .net members forum, where you can correspond with myself, Jason, Chris, Jake, Ryan. If you want us to talk with you, that's the best place to be, man. That's where our attention goes. We love the email. We love the Twitter. But, you know, you write in our section on the website, you're pretty much guaranteed to get yourself an answer. All of that, plus, you can write your own blogs in that forum. You get to correspond with other .NET members as well. Great folk in there, a great group. All for $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out. But if you take that annual option, if you say, you know what, I've thought about it a lot, lock it in, let's go, 1 year, it's going to be around $5.50 a month. So that's $2 a month that you're going to save. In the long run, that's $24 over a year that you save by taking that annual option. Again, it's ProWrestling.net. Go there in your browser, right-hand side of the page, there's a membership link. Click that, hit us up with your PayPal, and you're going to be happy you did. We are all pretty sure. We're proud of the product that we put out here at .net. Got that out of the way pretty quick, right? I mean, I plug and done, if you will. So let's get into Impact. And this show, it was all about perpetual anticipation, which, according to the Stephen Sondheim musical, A Little Night Music, is good for the soul, but it's bad for the heart. It's very good for practicing self-control. It's very good for morals, but it's bad for morale. No one is getting this joke. Seriously, I just quoted Sondheim in a wrestling audio. I'm the coolest. So, the show was built on the anticipation of an attack from the Aces and Eights, but an attack that never came. And there were some really unique scenes in it. The suspicion of James Storm continued this week. I think Storm did a little bit to prove that it wasn't him, but it's still there. It's still pervading the storylines that James Storm is this guy. So, and I don't like that. I went over it last week for members why I don't like that, and I'll just reiterate. I don't like that TNA is giving us yet another reason to doubt James Storm. I mean, there was the James Storm lost his smile thing, and now there's this. I don't want to doubt James Storm. I want to like James Storm. I want to support him in his journey. I don't want to sit around saying, I don't know if James Storm can get it done. I don't know if James Storm is aligned with these douchebags over in Aces and Eights. I don't know James Storm. I want to say I know this guy, and this guy wouldn't do that. That's what TNA should want their fans saying, but they just don't have him. They don't have him locked into that well enough. So let's talk real quick. Just top to bottom, I'm going to blast through this show. The show opened in a really unique way. Instead of the previously on Impact thing that they've established since, I think since, like, that first open fight night, The show opened with Kenny King, Zema Ion, Bobby Roode, and Austin Aries brawling to the ring. And the match starting from there. And we got the Aries and King versus Roode and Ion match. It lasted 15 minutes and 6 seconds. And the winners were Austin Aries and Kenny King. King pinned Zema Ion with his finisher to win the match. First of all, Kenny King, congrats on not wearing All Night Express tights anymore. That's a major step for you, I know. This was a really good match. Aries and Roode got some time in the ring together, and they do some good work. But more than that, you saw Ion in there with Aries, and you saw Roode in there with King. And, you know, it's exactly, I like this for the reason that I liked the match being made in general last week. You're mixing that X Division championship scene with the world championship scene, and it works really well. It makes your X Division wrestlers look bigger. It makes your world champion wrestlers look a little more relevant. There's just something really nice about that mix of those two scenes. So then we got our previously on Impact package, and it was all about the Aces and Eights and the James Storm stuff from last week. Then Sting was talking with Jason Hervey backstage. Sting said, "Hey, I'm going to come out and, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to ask questions now." TNA tends to beg the question, and this is just, it's a weekly program, so it's a question that has to be asked. Don't you guys have phones that work during the week? Like, conceivably, can't I call and, I could call someone and talk to them. Couldn't someone call James Storm and be like, did this happen? Are you that guy? Yeah. So, let's chat real quick. If you want to follow along with me on this show, by the way, Ryan Kester's Impact Wrestling live coverage is going to be what I am reading off of and giving my thoughts on as we go. So, you guys missed a great recap, by the way, if you're not members last week. I yelled at Ryan, like, for half of that entire thing. It was beautiful. Okay, so good match. A nice start to the night. I liked going back to the previously on Impact thing, and I liked the tease that Sting was going to get this done. Also, on this show, they worked in a Twitter highlight, and like throughout the show, they were showing tweets on the screen. It was just kind of weird. I don't know. I don't really like it that much. It's me. If it's me, I make the call not to do it. I hope it makes people tweet about them more. I hope it makes them, you know, more socially relevant and socially active and all that. Because if not, then why are they doing it? So Sting made his entrance, called out James Storm. Storm comes out. Sting shows Storm the footage again that we just saw in the previously on Impact segment. Those were just too close together for the replay to be necessary. And then Storm said Aces and Eights were cowards. They ran from him. Storm cut a good promo here, saying, you know, I don't need anyone to fight my battles for me. Look at, I was jumped, and he said, I was jumped by Kurt Angle. And look at what I did when I was jumped by Kurt Angle. I picked myself up and I beat him 3 out of 4 times. Really great response. Angle's music then hit, and remember, Storm versus Angle is the main event on this show. Kurt Angle's music hit, and he basically said that he doesn't understand Storm's motives, he doesn't know what he's doing, and said, James Storm and Aces and Eights, that's something that's happening, isn't it? So, Angle begged Aces and Eights to get involved in his match. Sting then said, I'm going to be out there for your match, so if Aces and Eights wants to come out there and get it done, I'm all in, you know, bring it, I'm going to be there, I want you guys to come out and fight. So that, I really liked that. Angle said he would make Storm tap out, by the way. So, that's a thing as well, and that plays into the match. Then we saw AJ Styles on the Twitter in Australia, pointing out that he was, you know, promoting Impact Wrestling. Then we saw Daniels and Kazarian going, Styles, man, he's leaving the country because he knocked this chick up. Yeah, knocked her up. And we had Styles, and we had them saying that they were going to throw a baby shower for Claire on this evening. So, let's move on quickly. Then we had Bully Ray come out tweeting. Comes out swinging, man. Comes out tweeting. Yeah, I'm silly. Oh, God. That's awful. Sorry, I have ESPN on in the background most of the time while I'm doing these, and I didn't catch the score of the Angels game last night, and the Angels lost 15-9. Damn. That's a bummer. That really is. I apologize, guys. That's just depressing in my soul. I had to comment on it. So, Bully Ray versus Robbie in a Bound for Glory series match. They looked like they were going to go even. They punched each other a few times, then boom, Bully Ray hit the cutter. And that was, Bully Ray hit the cutter, and that was it. You know, 1, 2, 3, Bully Ray got his 7 points. Then we had Earl Hebner talking with Madison backstage. He gave her, like, a teddy bear, a box of chocolates, and some flowers. And Gail was protesting and saying, hey, that's not cool. You know, and Madison said, hey, he's not going to favor me in the match. Now, here's the thing. TNA, you have an authority structure. Hell, you have Brooke Hogan there. Why isn't Brooke Hogan going, hey, Earl, I'm going to take you off a knockouts match duty. I'm gonna trust your son Brian to do this. And I know his new mommy might be in this match, but him and his goofy-ass, retarded shoes are going to referee this match instead of you. So, we had a... So, that was it. Chrissy Amy introduced Miss Tessmacher. As an announcer, Miss Tessmacher came out in shorts that were glorious. I'm not usually the guy to comment on the female wardrobe choices, but damn, that was nice. I'm a fan of that action. And we had Tara versus Madison Rayne versus Gail Kim versus Mickey James to carry us over into the second hour of the show. TNA does a really nice job of switching up what's in their kind of three major segments: the opening, the crossover, and the end of the second hour. They do a really good job of saying, well, we're going to do knockouts this week, but next week it's going to be Austin Aries. And Aries is going to close the show this week, but he's going to open the show next week. And they kind of, they move the pieces around enough that it's not like, for a while, this, you know, post-WrestleMania and going into, you know, coming into the summer, it looked like, well, it's 10 o'clock. It's time for CM Punk to come out on Monday Night Raw. They don't really allow that to happen on Impact, and I enjoy the fact that they keeps it real, and they keep it fresh in that way. So we had a women's four-way match. There was a commercial right before it started, and then we kicked things off. This was another one, you know, the wrestling was fine here. This was another Earl Hebner gives Madison the reign when she didn't earn, Madison Rayne the win when she didn't earn it finish with Tara hitting the Widow's Peak on Gail Kim. Then she rolled up Madison Rayne. Rayne kind of rolled through, but Rayne's shoulders were down. Tara's shoulders were almost down. Hebner counted the pin. Miss Tessmacher celebrated on commentary, which she was hard to hear on commentary, actually. That was an issue. She was... The levels on her headset were way too low. But she... Miss Tessmacher started celebrating the fact that Tara... she was going to get to face Tara. And then Madison Rayne's music played, and Earl Hebner raised Madison Rayne's arm. It was, you know, just a... Well, Madison Rayne's kind of sleeping with Earl to get the, you know, to get the upper hand in the knockouts division finish. We'll see how that develops in the weeks and months to come. We saw a recap of the Angle and Storm segment, which was nice. I mean, you know, if they're still not getting people tuned in for that 8 o'clock hour, it's good to get us a refresher. Bobby Roode then talked about how he was going to be at ringside for the main event. Then we had Austin Aries say he was going to be at ringside for the main event. I liked that. And I liked what, I liked the way that they put them at ringside for the main event, and that as a viewer watching, it made it seem like such a big deal to get these guys at ringside, to have them, you know, in this position, because it's something you don't see often. And TNA did a really, you know, they hyped it throughout the show. They made it seem like a big deal. And then, you know, when it came time to put your money where your mouth was, they did a nice job of paying that off in the main event and making it really interesting. So TNA did that super well. Then we had Sting and Brooke Hogan talking. And Sting talked about Hulk, asked how he was doing. And then Sting and Brooke discussed Aces and Eights. And, you know, Sting said, hey, Brooke, I brought you in to do a job. If the knockouts get pulled into this Aces and Eights thing, are you going to be able to keep your cool? And Brooke said, it's going to be tough, it's going to be hard, I just don't know. And then a messenger came in with the with an aces and eights envelope, you know, basically with an envelope, and handed it to Brooke, and it was the aces and eights, what is that thing called? It was the aces and eights calling cards, you know, the cards that they hand out. So that was Hogan, that was Brooke's kind of moment, was getting those cards and freaking out a bit and then leaving. And that was how we kept Hogan on the show this week as well. I do think it'll be a big moment when Hogan comes back. I'm getting quite interested in who the aces and eights are. I should put that out there. I know that's shocking to all of you that I'm interested in wrestling. But I think we could get a solid payoff from this one, so I'm excited to see it. Then ODB and Eric Young spoke backstage about Brooke Hogan bothering them about the Knockouts tag titles, and they had the belts. And Eric Young basically was like, well, I'm going to take a belt and you take a belt, and we should never be in the same place at once. That way, they can't make us defend the titles. And Eric Young took the belt and ran away. So hopefully they just abolish those titles because they are pointless. No offense to Knockouts tag teams, but you don't exist. Then it was time for Chavo Guerrero's debut match. And this was Kid Cash with Gunner versus Chavo Guerrero with Hernandez. Chavo, again, and it's the same thing I was frustrated with him for last week. First of all, he walks out to the ring and he acts like he's, you know, he acts like he's getting the ovation that Undertaker does when he shows up to something. He acts like he got the Brock Lesnar the night after WrestleMania pop. He acts like, you know, he acts like the world is hanging on his every movement. And it's not in a heelish way, it's in a babyface way where, you know, people criticize Triple H sometimes for coming out in a segment, and if Triple H isn't getting cheered for, he waits until it's awkward and people cheer for him. That's a Triple H trick that I don't think he plays all that often, but I don't assume the worst of Triple H the way most people do. But Chavo was kind of doing that. I guess I assume the worst of Chavo. That's classy for me. Chavo, by the way, won the match by hitting the Three Amigos and the Frog Splash in 442. Basically, Chavo won the match by doing a poor impression of Eddie Guerrero. Sorry, you know, and the bummer of it is, it's not even like they're playing it off as, you know, this is Chavo's moveset. No, Mike Tenay and Taz just go, it's a tribute! It's a tribute to Eddie! Oh, another tribute move! Oh, and that's the finish! So it's not even like you can watch it and be like, oh, nice, he's doing this, and they're playing it off like Chavo's adapted, and, you know, even Chavo's improved upon the Frog Splash or something. There's none of that, so that just makes me sad. I'm not super interested in Chavo. I'm guessing we get a tag team match between these two at some point. I don't really want to see it, you know? Dixie Carter was asked backstage about the Claire Lynch and AJ thing, and she said, you know, it's way past time, and I mean way past time, for AJ to explain himself, which I just found to be kind of odd to, you know, it's way past time for AJ to explain himself. Well, then why don't you call him? This is something I actually think about with theater a lot in modern drama. Cell phones exist now. Misunderstandings that can be solved with a cell phone shouldn't be in modern plays. And I feel that way about, wrestling too. Problems that can be solved using a cell phone, you know, by calling, by, you know, AJ texting Dixie, they probably shouldn't be spotlighted on Impact. It shouldn't be a big thing. So yeah, that's just kind of my personal feelings on those. So Dixie did her thing. Angle then spoke to Wes Briscoe backstage. And Briscoe, I guess, son of one of the Briscoes, a professional wakeboarder, we would find out later, asked if Angle would put in the good word for Hogan for him. And asked if, you know, Angle said yes. And Wes Briscoe just kind of seems like your classic stoner surfer guy. So it should be interesting to see what he ends up doing. D-Von and Garrett Bischoff then interrupted and said they'll be out at the end of the show, too, because all the main eventers were going to be there, so Garrett Bischoff had to be there. Not really. They've done a nice job of not pushing Garrett down our throats. D-Von, by the way, still TV champion, hasn't defended it on TV in like a month, so... You know, I'm a little sad to see them forget about that one and not keep it going with D-Von with D-Von defending the title. I just want to see them take the belt off of D-Von, though. You know what I'll go with? I'll say, hell, why don't we put that belt on Chavo, you know? Have Chavo beat D-Von, talk about their rivalries in the past, but have Chavo beat him. And then have Chavo be the TV champion and defend it. I think he's a good hand. He's a guy who can defend that belt on TV really well. That would be a really cool... You know, that would be a good use of him to me. And I don't... You know, like I've said, I don't love Chavo, but I think that would be a nice way to use him down the stretch. Daniels and Kazarian then stood in the ring, explaining that Saz was in Australia and they want to do what's right for the baby. And they called Claire in. Claire looks more pregnant than ever now. And they gave her a little plastic jewel thing, and they gave her some presents. The first one was a ton of diapers. The second one was AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and Kazarian merchandise. And the third one was a baby dressed in a cute little AJ Styles vest. Guys, this thing was adorable. It was a very cute vest. Speaking of adorable, I'm getting a puppy this weekend. It's a little King Charles Cavalier mix, and I'm so excited about it, so I just had to put that out there. It's the cutest thing. We're adopting it from a rescue, and we're thinking of naming it Luna Lovegood, because it's a little it's very, like, blonde and kind of airy, so we think Luna Lovegood would be a good name. Yeah, I'm nerdy, guys, and I love that puppy so much, and we're adopting it Saturday, and it's gonna be awesome. So... Now that I've talked about my puppy and that baby. So yeah, a little more Claire Lynch. Nothing really happened, though. Joe Park talked backstage about how he's now representing some TNA athletes legally. He's their legal representation. And he asked Sting if he needed legal representation. Sting said no. So that was that. Let's move on to... Tanay and Taz hyped next week. Pope versus Rob Van Dam, AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle, and Bully Ray versus James Storm, all in Bound for Glory series matches. Good matches. Feel like TNA, and I thought this would happen towards the beginning of the series, and now it looks like it is. They're kind of remembering now. Oh yeah, we really need to get we need to get D-Von or Pope and They need to get Pope and Robbie E in TV matches in the Bound for Glory series. And you know what I'd really love to see is a little more Magnus. I don't know. Yeah. I would really love to see some Magnus. I'm going to check the TNA website right now for the Bound for Glory series announcements for next week. Right quick. If I can find them. TNA's website doesn't make this easy all the time. Let's see if they are... Here. Impact coverage. Nope. Can't see the videos. Watch on YouTube. Nope. So yeah, I would like to see a little more Magnus. I thought that Magnus was a guy that had a real chance at being the, being one of the top guys in the series when it began, and now he's kind of lost. He's 3-5 in Bound for Glory series matches. He's had 8 matches. I think they will have 11. Magnus is a guy. Oh, by the way, I should mention, they, Hardcore Justice got a 4 Bound for Glory, 3 Bound for Glory series 4 ways added to it. And I like it, but I don't love it. Oh, look, we also have an exhibition title match added to it. Kid Cash and Gunner versus Chavo and Hernandez added to it. So, yeah, we've got some matches now. But let's talk about these Bound for Glory series matches. I like that it's 3-4 ways. It's all 12 guys in the series in these matches. Everyone has an equal shot at winning. You know, everyone has a shot at these 20 points. They count outside of, you know, the standard series, much like the original opening gauntlet battle royal thing did. So that's cool. They all have different stipulations, though. And that's kind of where I understand why they do that. So you're providing different matches. I also don't know if I enjoy... I don't know that I enjoy the... I don't know that I enjoy the way it's being done. But that's, you know, one to two. You know, if it's not one thing, it's another. So I'm not all that upset about it. But I'll get into what those matches are. In a ladder match, AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, Christopher Daniels, and Samoa Joe. Now, that thing has the potential to steal the show right there. At the same time, you know, Styles can probably take some good ladder bumps. I don't want to see Angle taking a ton of ladder bumps. Joe will be a good power base, but I don't know that Joe's going to be the best guy in there. So Angle and Styles are going to, AJ and Styles are going to have to work well together in that. In a tables match, Jeff Hardy, James Storm, Bully Ray, and Robbie E. Should be pretty cool. I think back to the Royal Rumble 2000 tables match between the Hardys and the Dudleys there, and it just, you know, having Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray in there kind of reminds me of that. And then in a Falls Count Anywhere four-way, Anderson, Van Damme, Pope, and Magnus. I think Magnus could pull that one out and end up towards the top of the standings again. I still would like to see him in the final four, and that's kind of what I was getting at. I think they need to push Magnus a little better in the series. I don't know... You know, he's a guy that he's the one guy going in that I said they can make a star with this series if they enhance this guy. So I hope they do end up doing that. So then we had Kurt Angle versus James Storm in a Bound for Glory series match. No one is at ringside to kick it off. Sting made his way out. D-Von and Garrett made their way out. Bully Ray came out. Also, slightly annoying thing. Bully Ray's chain. Have you guys noticed the sound that it makes? It hurts my ears. Like, and for a while I thought it was just, you know, my cable, but then I changed cable services, and it still does it, so now I'm just sure that it's just the sound the chain always makes, but that is a disturbing accessory. It bugs me. I understand why he wears it, and it fits his persona well, but it doesn't sound good. And I like things that sound good. Like James Storm's theme music. So yeah. We went. There was a commercial break in the match, and it was one of those weird ones that TNA has started doing, where they go to a commercial break in a match, and kind of, it's a longer commercial break, and in the middle of it, they cut in with like 4 seconds of a match that's like a near fall, and that's it. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Then we had Bobby Roode coming out, Austin Aries coming out, Angle hit his Rolling Germans. Basically, the finish of this match was Angle had Storm in the ankle lock for a long time, and, you know, he said he was going to make Storm tap, and he was determined to do that. You had Taz on commentary going, Storm, just tap out. Storm, you need to just tap out. And Storm wouldn't tap, and finally was able to roll through and kick Angle in the head and get him to release the kick, or get him to release the ankle lock. Then he was able to stand up and hit the Last Call super kick, but the story basically was, what damage has he done with his ankle that injured? What did he do, you know, in this quest to be champion, what did he do to himself, you know, what did he do to himself, and how is it going to affect him for the rest of the series? I think that's what they were getting at with it, and that's a cool story to tell. You know, that's, again, the Bound for Glory series opens up some interesting stories, and it opens up some interesting opportunities, and I think having James Storm not be 100% going into next week's match with Bully Ray is a good one. So then everyone got into the ring, and they're like, Aces and Eights, let's do this, so come on out. James Storm got on the mic and said, Aces and Eights, get out here, I want to do this. Then Bobby Roode got a mic and said, you know why they're not coming out, James? Because you don't need them this week. You beat Angle on your own, so you don't need the Aces and Eights out here to help you. And then Storm and Bully Ray started fighting, Aries and Roode started fighting, and the show went off the air with them brawling, and no Aces and Eights. So like I said, perpetual anticipation. All through the show, it was built up. We're going to see Aces and Eights. Aces and Eights is going to come out. And they never showed. Interesting. TNA kind of, you know, we got used to the Aces and Eights attack closing the show in the last couple weeks, and they kind of flipped it on its head. Nice work, you know. Cool chapter of the story, I feel like. The show was about anticipating Aces and Eights. I still don't love doubting James Storm for the reasons I didn't last week and for just because I don't know that the connection is there with the crowd. I think he's good. I think James Storm is one of the best baby faces in wrestling today, but I think James Storm should get about a year where no one doubts him and he wins matches and people say, yeah, that guy, that's my guy. I'm behind him. This giving people a reason to doubt him isn't the way to go about things. I feel like Aries and Rude have taken a bit of took a bit of a backseat this week to the Bound for Glory series and the Aces and Eights. And I would like to see Aries' title reign pushed a little bit harder, maybe just because I'm an internet guy and I'm supposed to like him. But I think Aries could definitely use a little bit more focus on Impact. So, all in all, a good show. I mean, TNA is putting forth some really solid additions of Impact. It's not, you know, they're not, oh my god, I have to watch this all the time. But it is, hey, this is good wrestling. Hey, this is, you know, this is a good show. Hey, this storytelling works. And when you put all of that together, you don't need the best show. A good show is fine. Like, you know, and it's not overstaying its welcome. It's always exciting. So yeah, this was a good addition of Impact. I'm glad I tuned in this week, I should say. And you should watch it if you haven't. Other things you should do, get that ProWrestling.net membership if you haven't already. And hook it up with that awesome audio, add free access to the site, member first run news, all of that action for .net. It's worth it, guys. As low as $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. And we really hope. And if you are a member, drop us a line. Tell us how you feel about it. I think most of you are happy. I hope most of you are happy. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much for your support of the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. Oh, and download our apps. We've got free apps on the iPhone, Android, all that action that keeps you up to date with everything that goes on the website. It goes in the app, man. And it's totally, absolutely worth picking up. It's how I keep track of wrestling news when I'm on the go. So thank you guys so much for listening today, and have a really pleasant Friday and weekend. See ya.